Good morning. So today's topic is going to be whether or not a person is allowed to lie if he is lying in order to get back what is rightfully his. If let's say a person owes him money, and the only way for you to retain ownership of your assets or of your money that belongs to you rightfully is by employing sheker. Is this mutter or is sheker usur even in such a circumstance? That's the question. And this question seems to be something that is tully in a machlekes in the Paiskim. The opinion of the Rajba seems to be that it's also for a person to lie in all cases, even if that means taking a financial loss. And the Rajba is discussing a Gemara in Cheskas Habatim, a Gemara in Baba Basra, where you have a person who is sitting in someone else's property, a property that used to belong to someone else, and the person comes and claims that it was stolen from him, and he therefore hauls him in front of Beis Din and tells Beis Din that this person has his property. This person is sitting in his house. And this person says, here's the shtar. You see clearly in the shtar that I bought it. This shtar proves that I bought it. And therefore, you have no right to extricate me from this property. When no one was looking, this person who was occupying the house turns to the Dayan, and he says, listen, the truth is that this shtar that I have was forged. It was forged, and I'm actually lying that this shtar proves that I bought it, but I did have a different shtar, and it was irchis. I lost it. I lost it, but it rightfully does belong to me. This property does, in fact, belong to me. I did have a shtar, and I lost it. The question is, is the person believed or not? So the Gemara says that he is in fact believed because he has a migu. He could have just been quiet and won with his original taina that this shtar proves that he in fact purchased this property. And even though he now is admitting to the fact that it was forged and it doesn't really prove that he in fact purchased the property, but since he could have been quiet, he has a migu. So he should be believed that he did have initially a shtar and it got lost. That's the Gemara. Says the Rajba, he is employing sheker. He is employing sheker over here. He's using a forged shtar. He's winning with a forged shtar. So why is he believed? Says the Rajba, that doesn't mean that it's mutter. Avada, what he did was usur. You're not allowed to lie, even if that means retaining what's rightfully yours. You, in fact, purchased the land. You're still not allowed to lie, even though you would have lost the din Torah had you not forged the shtar. Had he not forged the shtar, he would have lost the din Torah, and it therefore was also for him to lie. However, says the Rajba, the Gemara is saying that even though what he did was wrong, at the end of the day, he currently has a migu. He currently has a proof that what he's saying is true. Because if he was a liar, he could have just been quiet and won with the forged shtar. So that demonstrates that he's saying the truth. So we believe the fact that he purchased the land in spite of the fact that he did something that was wrong. The Rajba clearly indicates that it would be also for a person to lie, even if that means retaining what's rightfully yours. And therefore, it would be also for him to lie and say that this was a legitimate shtar, even though he really did purchase the land and it did, in fact, belong to him. Because it's also to be mishaker, even if that means retaining what's rightfully yours. That seems to be the opinion of the Rajba. However, other Paiskim seem to disagree. The Chida has a tshuva, where the Chida has a tshuva about boys that wanted to yarshin their father, because we know that Alpi Din Torah, only boys yarshin, only boys inherit their father, and girls don't inherit their father. And there was a person that passed away that left an inheritance, and one of the daughters goes ahead and goes to civil court trying to get a piece of the action, trying to get an equal portion of the Rusha. And the Chida is mater, at least in certain circumstances, the forging of a will by the boys in order to get what's rightfully theirs. Since Alpi Halacha, they have rights to Yarshin, and the daughters don't have rights to Yarshin. So in certain limited circumstances, when it's not going to be Goyer Mechilul Hashem, the Chida allows the boys to lie and claim that there was a will indicating that the inheritance should go specifically to the boys, which would be accepted in civil court, in spite of the fact that it was a lie. Because they were lying in order to retain what was theirs, in order to prevent the girls from taking money from them shalai kadin. The Chidas seems to imply that he holds that it's mutter to lie in order to procure from someone else what's rightfully yours api halach. That seems to be the opinion of the Chidah, not like the Rajba. So it seems to be a machlekes. There's an interesting Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that seems to take a middle opinion. And this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is in Parshas Va'era. He's going on the episode that we have in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu asking Paroi Melech Mitzrayim for the furlough for the 3-day period that the Klal Yisrael are going to spend in the Midbar. And in truth, Klal Yisrael wasn't planning on returning. Moshe wasn't planning on returning. And he was really planning on leaving Mitzrayim perpetually. In addition, you find another form of deceit that Klal Yisrael invoked when negotiating with Paroi and negotiating with Mitzrayim, because they were told v'yishalu kelim, the yishalu to borrow different utensils and kelim and jewelry from the Mitzrayim, and it wasn't really being borrowed. Klal Yisrael didn't intend to merely borrow it, and what they did was they took it to keep. And nevertheless, it was seemingly justified when they asked them to borrow the kelim. So what was the justification? So says Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, because they were owed money. They were owed money because they worked for free. They worked as slaves for the Mitzrayim for free. They were owed money. And they were taking what was rightfully theirs. And therefore, they were even allowed to employ a certain degree of deceit in obtaining that which was rightfully theirs. However, if you take a look at the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he seems to be presenting a middle opinion, because he says that even though it was mutter for them to lie in order to obtain what was rightfully theirs, since they were owed money, they were able to lie and pretend that they were merely borrowing kelim, and pretending that they were required to go only for 3 days in the Midbar. Nevertheless, he says that they made sure to make the request in a way that would be mishtama betrei ampi, that could be interpreted two ways, that could be interpreted in an honest way and not as a sheker. And therefore, even though it wasn't completely honest, but nevertheless, since it wasn't an overt lie, it wasn't a blatant white lie, it was therefore mutter, at least in this particular case, when they were doing so in order to obtain what was rightfully theirs. That is the middle opinion, that it's mutter to lie in order to obtain what's yours, but only if you do so in a way that could be interpreted also by Eifen Heter. You find a similar idea in the Yavetz. The Yavetz is on the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Yudalad. The Gemara talks about a story where the Bnei Mechuza owed a certain amount of money to one of the Amirah. And when the Amirah came to get the money that was owed to his friend, the Amirah sent a shliach to get it. And when he came to get the money that was owed, they said that we'll only give you the money if you, the shliach, is going to sign that you accept upon yourself all responsibility for this money. In other words, we'll give you the money that is owed, and you are the agent of this other amir that is owed the money. But we want you to accept upon yourself all responsibility if anything is going to happen on the way, and if they get lost, gets lost or damaged, stolen, you're going to be fully responsible. And he says, okay. He says, in. And when they gave it to him, they gave him the money, he quickly left without taking the responsibility, seemingly deceiving, seemingly employing deceit in his obtaining of the money that was owed. And the question is, what was the heter to lie? He was lying to them by agreeing to accept upon himself full responsibility, even though he didn't end up doing so. Zochti Yavit, the answer is because they, in fact, owed the money. They weren't willing to give it unless he was mekabel on himself, full responsibility, and he wasn't mechuyev to do so. Therefore, he was able to employ a certain degree of sheker in order to obtain what was rightfully his, or what was rightfully the property of his mishaleach, of the person who sent him. So this Yavit seems to say that it's mutter to lie, even though normally this is an isser, perhaps even deraisa, because you're doing so in order to obtain what's rightfully yours. However, on the Haggah, on the bottom of the Yaivitz, he says that over here, it was a case where it was Mishtamev B'Trei Ampi, similar to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. It was able to be interpreted two ways, because when they said that we'll only give you the money if you accept upon yourself full responsibility, he didn't merely say, I'll do so, and I'm going to acquiesce to any demand that you have. Rather, he said, in. Now, in could mean yes, but in could also mean ain, no. What he said was something that could be interpreted in two ways, and it wasn't a blatant lie. It wasn't a blatant lie. Therefore, at least in this case, when he was doing so, in order to retain or procure from them something that was not theirs, api halacha, it was supposed to go back to this shliach api halacha. Therefore, he was able to employ at least this somewhat of a deceitful type of Amira, in spite of the fact that it normally would be also, because over here he's doing so in order to obtain what was rightfully his. So, again, you see a pshara type of opinion in this Yaivitz, at least according to the Hagon, the Yaivitz, that it's mutter to employ sheker in order to obtain what's rightfully yours, but you should do so in a way that's not a blatant lie, like in, which could be interpreted as yes, or it could be interpreted as saying no. And that is the middle opinion of both the Yaivitz and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. So it seems to be something that is Tully and Machlekes HaPoskim. On one side, we have the Rashba that seems to indicate that as a general halacha, it's Aser. And we have the opinion on the other extreme of the Chida, who seems to hold that it's always going to be Mutter. And we have the middle opinion of both the Yaivitz and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh.